Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Today, I'm so stoked. I have a super duper special guest with me, Cody Jefferson, joining us from Tulsa, Oklahoma. If you're part of the Wealthy Practitioner crew, you heard Cody speak inside of our mastermind probably a year ago, actually. Yeah. And he was a fan favorite immediately, really got the whole crew pumped up, thinking about their vision, getting clarity on what they want out of their life. And I was like, you know what? I've actually never had Cody on the podcast. So let's bring you in. Thank you for being here.
It's good to be here. I'm glad we made it happen.
I know, me too. Give the audience just a little bit of a background on who you are and what you do and that sort of thing.
Yeah, sure. So Cody Jefferson, just south of Tulsa, Oklahoma. You'll hear it in my voice a little bit. First and foremost, I'm Sarah's trophy husband, and I am Stetson Foster's dad, and I am Titus Oliver's bonus dad. So outside of that, everything's tinsel, but family, first and foremost, that's who I am 7 days out of the week. On the backside of that, we run a coaching consulting company called Embrace the Lion, founded in 2017. Really just the focus was to help good men become great. On the backside of 13 years of occupational ministry for me, wearing all the hats that a pastor can. So we've got about 4,500 guys around the world in that program now. Run another mastermind called Four Rooms with a dear friend, Amber Spears. So that is more for founders in the 7 to 9 figure area, usually in the 8 to 9 figure. Let's see, we've got an apparel company called Spiritual World Tour. So you'll see us on some of your favorite artists, specifically if you love country music. So guys like Morgan Wallen, Post Malone, Parker McCollum, Corey Kent, and a lot of your favorite CCM, which would be Christian music artists. On the backside of that, I'm involved in a beer company called American, which is beer for everyone. And then I've got a few other things that I do locally. We've got a whole co of local service companies that we work with. My family owns a feed store that's been in business since 1929, so I helped to run and organize that on the marketing side and infrastructure side. And then I travel the country and get to keynote a couple times a month. Outside of that, I'm a wrestling coach at night. I'm a baseball coach. I'm a football coach for my kids. And I'm a PTA dad. And I look really good on the arm of my wife. So
I love that. And so what you're telling me is you have tons of free time.
So what's interesting about that, just in a quick 30 seconds, that is the number one thing that people say is, wow, you must be really overwhelmed. I am not the operator of all of my entities. I'm good at a handful of things. There's a lot of things that I'm okay at, but people are much better at than me. And in order for me to be able to create the margin to be the family man that I am, I decrease my own margin from a financial side, looking more to the exit of an entity so that we can pull in the operators and the team so that can run far more efficiently and effectively than me trying to spin a bunch of plates in the air.
I love that you even mentioned that, because just knowing you and getting to know you over the past couple of years, like, I know you're super present as a dad and a husband, and people just hearing that entrepreneurial journey are going to be like, oh my God, he's so busy. He's running around with his head cut off. And I know that you're not. And yeah. So I just love that you mentioned that too, because that's something I try and get our clients to see, is business doesn't have to be hard. And once you get good at it, you can literally be a business owner in any industry. And I just even love your background for that, because you are proof that you don't have to stick with only consulting. You don't have to stick with only brick and mortar. Like, you have all of these different really cool companies you're building because you're good at business.
Yeah, we love it. World Tour, which is our apparel company, we had a drop this morning, 30 minutes ago, actually. So as you're watching this at 10 a.m. CST, we had a drop and we are 75% sold out as of right now. We've done a really great job on the infrastructure of organic marketing, and I'm not doing anything
currently
selling out.
Yeah, that's so amazing. So this would be a good time, because you mentioned it, you travel the world speaking, that you're going to be one of our keynote speakers at our workshop in Nashville in May called Profit and Purpose. And I am just so pumped, because I know that, one, I've heard you speak. It's absolutely phenomenal. You're enticing, you're raw and authentic, which I think is just really hard to get in today's day and age. It's one of the things that I think a lot of people are attracted to. How did you go from being a pastor to now being this serial entrepreneur?
So it's not as actually far removed as you think. Think about it this way. And I'm going to be as respectful as I can because I love the church. And the church for 13 years was an incubator for me and was really the preparation. The pulpit was always preparation for the platform that God had planned. When you think of the church, it's easy to think of it as like a nonprofit entity, but you also can think of it as just a business like anything else. Mm-hmm. So for 13 years, from the age of 18 until I was in my 30s, every week I'm on stage. So I was speaking 3 to 5 times a week. And so that'll season you really quick, especially when I started out as a youth pastor. Kids, like talking to adults, that's easy, right? Like people are like, how are you so good at sales? I'm like, try talking to kids about not having sex as teenagers. I can sell anything.
Yeah.
So when you come into ministry in my neck of the woods, which was charismatic, non-denominational, like mega church, big, 5,000 plus people, your modality is one, we have marketing. So that is everything that's front facing in the community. Two, we have sales, which is our altar call, how we portray our messages, all of our worship, everything that's front facing to anyone who's new to what we call the organization or the entity, the church, the community, like all of that is your sales process. We have retention, which means you got to get them plugged into small groups. You got to get them volunteering. You've got to get them put into leadership. Got to get them put on a track to their discipleship process. So now we have retention. We have affiliate, which is how we get them to bring people into the community. So are we having outside events? Are we having large scale revivals? Are we having special events like Easter, Mother's Day, Christmas? And then you have retention. How do we get people to close the back door and stay? Mm-hmm. The same is true in business. The difference is I get to hire the best of the best in business. In church, God bless everyone. You're working with the same 20% of people who volunteer for everything who might not be the best at everything. So you're working with what you have to make something happen. So really everything from organizational leadership to liturgical formation and development, men's ministry, teaching, all of our college ministry. I was a worship pastor, toured the country as a supporting artist in the music scene, traveled as a keynote in the church scene. All of that, working with people, understanding empathy, how to sit with people, how to walk with people, understanding dynamics of how to get people involved and keep them involved in non-paid positions. All of that seasoned me for what I do now. Mm-hmm. I would say business is so much less complicated than the church because it's far less emotional. There's mm-hmm. less spirituality tied to it. And you're able to make decisions based on professional metrics rather than spiritual comprehension and potential.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. There's so many similarities. I love that you broke off the different things. It sounds like you had a company in your family already existing, so you probably were exposed to entrepreneurship. What made you decide to go out and do something else? Was coaching your first business that you built, or were there other ones?
Great question. So I started in business when I was a teenager. I started managing a garage when I was 17. So I've been a licensed mechanic for about 23 years. I'm in my 40s now. If you want my skincare routine, people, I'll give it to you at the event. I've been managing people who were a couple decades older than me for quite a while. Yes, my dad, we own a business in the agriculture space. And so there's a period of time where he wasn't able to fulfill his duties as an owner. So I stepped in and ran that for a few years while he recovered from a pretty detrimental motorcycle accident. Started a design on demand business when I was in ministry. Ended up selling that in just early 2017. That was not anything to write home about. I lost my shirt on it because I knew nothing about how to sell anything. And so I went for a ride on that one. But I learned, didn't know. And what brought me into the business space, there was a pretty extensive season of trauma that I went through. And a lot of that illuminated the fact that I was an addict and I was addicted to affirmation and to people pleasing and to not being able to say no. And it almost killed me in 2017. I went septic as a result of all the stress and overwhelm of being on all the time. And during that process, I lost 8 family members and friends, murders, suicides, overdoses. 4 of those friends were pastors in ministry who took their own lives and left behind wives and children. There was just something in it. It was like, something's got to give. And I felt like there was just a greater sense of purpose. And I think a lot of your, you know, listeners will relate to this. There's a call inside of you to be more. And you recognize that there's a gift that's been given to you. And in Matthew, I read that you want to be a good steward with the talents that God has given and the resource. And so I just stepped out. And I recognized that if I stayed in the church occupationally, I'd find myself dipping back into this cycle of affirmation. So when I stepped out of ministry, I didn't actually initially immediately step into coaching. Mm-hmm. Flipping Harleys out of my garage. I was giving guitar lessons, piano lessons, and vocal lessons. I was playing bars on the weekends that I didn't have my son. I was doing haircuts out of my front room. I've been a licensed barber for about the same amount of time as I've been a licensed mechanic. So doing haircuts out of my front room, graphic design, and again, print media and website design for churches who couldn't afford full-time media pastors. So doing everything I could to make my monthly burn while pulling my life together, figuring out who I was. I went through a divorce at that time. And so figuring out who I was as a man, as not a husband, as not a full-time dad, not a pastor anymore, and recognize there was a lot of guys and women. I work with women. I don't market to women because when I market to women, my DMs get super weird and I just deal with that. But do work with women, just don't market to them. It's being an empathetic, charismatic guy image. It can just get, you know, people just misread things. Mm-hmm. That's how it all started for me. And it snowballed pretty quickly. I'll say people are like, teach me how to do what you do. I'm like, I can't. Like, God was right in the middle of it. God put me here. God orchestrated all of it. Oh, by the way, I am not apologetic about my faith at all. I hope that whatever you believe listening, you're as passionate as I am, whatever that is. But God put me here. And so here we are, 8 years later.
I love that. Your specific journey just highlights there's this pressure. I know for a lot of the people that I see when they're building their first company or they make their first career decision or something that it's like, I have to get it right this one time. And what I'm doing currently is what I'm going to do indefinitely. And I remember having that when I was a young, spry, 26-year-old entrepreneur where I was like, oh my God, this has to be it forever. And I think there's a process that you go through where you become more mature and you understand things a little bit differently. And especially if you have that feeling inside of you, like I'm being called to do more. It's really hard to only just do one thing if you have that feeling inside of you. And I just love that your particular journey showcases the evolution and how you can rewrite your story at any time and how you can truly step up to the plate and become great in everything that you want to be. So what is something that you think was a limiting belief that maybe held you back before you went full send on your life and building these businesses and the life and all that you really desired?
Just one?
You can name as many as you want, actually.
I grew up in a single bedroom trailer by a single dad who worked his butt off. And there were five of us in that trailer at one point and shared the same bed, shared the same bathwater. He never wanted to go last, by the way. When I was growing up, what I knew was my dad made $40,000 a year. And I did not understand as a kid how business worked and how you could write things off and how you want to take a low distribution. And there were things I just didn't know. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I was like, okay, so that's it. So when I got into ministry, I would not take a salary over $40,000 because my dad loves feet all day. He starts at four. We all start at 4 a.m. I've done that. We've been that way since I was, I don't know, knee high to a pig's eye. And so my dad's up at 4 a.m., doesn't finish work until 8 p.m. He's tough, right? Like, he's tougher than a night in jail. He's tough. Mm-hmm. And so I'm talking to people. I'm reading the Bible for a living. I'm playing music. I'm singing. I'm hanging out with kids. I'm designing things. I don't deserve to make any more than him. Because Jeffersons growing up, we're defined by hard work. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I'm working hard enough. Which is also what led me to becoming super addicted to affirmation and feeling like I was never good enough. So I ended up taking on 8 to 10 roles inside of the church just to feel like I was worth my salt because it wasn't hard manual labor, which is what I equated it with hard work worth value. On the backside of that, I get into business and then things start getting squirrely real quick. It wasn't too long after I started that I had my first like 10K month. And I thought, I'm not saying Jay-Z and me are going to be best friends, but I don't know. The people like me don't make this kind of money. I am just balling right now. And then it turned into that in a week, and then a day, and then an hour. And then it just compounded from there. And I do well. I'm very blessed. God has been faithful because I feel like I've done my best to be faithful with what he's given me. And so we continue to multiply that every year and I continue to give back. And I'm grateful for that. But there was the idea that I didn't deserve it, that people like me who come from rural Oklahoma aren't in business like this. I would go to events and I talk a little different. People are like, where are you from, Tex? I'm like, certainly not Texas. Let's just get that straight right now. I'm from Oklahoma. But there was a lot of things. I thought that, man, who I am isn't, I don't know if it's enough for this space. I look a little different. I ranch on old Harleys on the weekend. I restore trucks. We're a rural family. My idea of a good time is loading the boys up and going fishing on the weekends. That's what we do. I don't have supercars. I don't even know what I would do with a supercar in Oklahoma. I don't dress real flashy. I don't want real flashy things. I never grew up that way. I'm blessed to be heavily resourced, but even in that, you wouldn't really know. It does take a lot of money to look this cheap, but I thought it had to be those things.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I got to a place where my acumen stood for itself and there were enough results around what I could do inside of the game of business. And I've been a part of a few exits since 2017 and assisted in a handful of them. And we've done really well on those. And now we're pushing these companies out a part of two exit. So now it's more of an undeniable thing. So now it doesn't matter. And the real beauty of that, and I'll tell this to anyone who's listening, I would say the greatest gift that I've given people outside of, we're a culture that's desperate to be known, but will settle for being seen. And I think one of my superpowers as a pastor, and people ask me what it's like to not be a pastor. I'm more a pastor now than I ever was. is my ability to sit and listen with people and sit in that pain because I've been in it. But also help people understand like it's okay to be comfortable in a custom cut suit as I am in a, you know, I joke all the time that my jeans were 2,700 pennies because they're just some Wranglers from Walmart. I'm at home in anything. And I think that was something that I had to really get through and get over was that who I am and who you are listening to this is enough. Richard Rohr says that true spiritual contentment is when the soul recognizes that it is enough, it's always been enough, and it will always be enough. There's nothing to prove, to hide, or protect.
I love that. I share about this a lot on the podcast, but my own journey with self-worth was very similar. I was only worthy if I was achieving, if I was accomplishing. I'm from a small town in the Midwest, and the Midwest culture just really values hard work, and it's a beautiful thing. And they are hard workers. They wake up really early and work till the sun goes down. Yeah. And I grew up very similar on a farm. My mom praised people for working really hard. And so it's something even today at 36 that I'm still trying to overcome. Like I still feel a little better the harder I work.
Totally.
So it's like breaking that connection and that nervous system feeling that you get from the praise and things like that. Now that you are a mentor to so many entrepreneurs, what is something when you start playing at the high level, you're generating multiple six figures, seven figures, eight figures, what is something that you see holds a lot of entrepreneurs back still? Is it the worthiness still at that level or is it something else?
So it is all at different levels. So usually what holds people back in the like, we'll say branching from six to seven, right? Which I'd say probably where a lot of people are. Most of that is mindset. Most of that is just, there are things that you don't know that you need to know. There are ways that you need to get out of your own way and source more responsibly in terms of getting yourself out of certain seats that don't make sense anymore. You need to be a little bit more aggressive with getting your voice out there and stop being so scared. There's a fear of failure for sure, but there's also a fear of success. A lot of people in that space, like they don't know who they have to become in order to sustain what would happen if they crossed another comma threshold. And so they hold themselves back because they either believe they don't deserve it or that they can't sustain it. So that would be that. From seven to eight, that's usually going to be founder syndrome. So just getting you out of your own way, recognizing that you don't need to micromanage everything. You're going to start needing to build team. By eight figures, you're probably going to need to have some sort of board, nothing crazy, but you're going to need to have some oversight over the different departments of your organization, which means that you're going to have to really build trust, which also means that you're going to have to become the type of leader that attracts a plus level talent. Eight and above, I can tell you from my experience, I haven't walked with many in that camp and the nine-figure camp. I don't know if this is the answer that you're going to want genuinely, but it's not a tactic. I will tell you that at that point, what holds them back the most is they've spent so much time focused on the business that they've neglected their marriage and they've neglected their kids and they've neglected the purpose of why they're doing what they're doing and making really good money, but the money doesn't solve what they thought it would. And so they find themselves pushing deeper into the business because the business doesn't have any feedback. It's something they understand. It's a feedback loop that confirms that when they input, there's an output. When they recognize that their marriage and their kids are already distant, it's easier to just, I'm just going to stay in the office a little longer. I'm just going to focus on this a little more because I don't want to confront my home. Yeah. And I don't want to have to pick up the pieces of what I've left in shambles. I don't even know what I'm connected to anymore. I thought I knew God, and I don't really know where God's at in the middle of this, not because he's not present, but because I'm really disconnected from everything. Up into that range, we could talk about like scale of things and where private equity comes into play and private investment and where those bottlenecks are, because that's certain capital is certainly a conversation when it comes to the bottlenecks the companies face at that scale, especially when they're looking to create any type of formal exit. But from a personal standpoint, it's relational.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can totally see that. That's one of the things that I love about you is that you have a very similar mission to me. It's like scale, grow this beautiful life, these beautiful businesses without sacrificing those that mean the most to you and the ones that you're building it for. That's the point of life, right? Is to be able to enjoy all of this with the people that we love the most.
Yeah. Scale your things. Listen, I love money because I love what money can do. I don't love money in and of itself, but I love being able to give back. I love being able to be involved in different nonprofit organizations that can call me with a number and I can give that at the drop of a hat. All of that is very meaningful to me. Nobody in their right mind needs any more than 20 grand to 30 grand to live on per month. You're just in excess. At least here, you live out on a coast and you might be...
maybe a little different in Jersey.
Yeah, you might be a little bit different, but around here, you're living pretty high on the hog.
But you reach a threshold, right? Like it doesn't matter where you're living.
It doesn't matter anymore. And it doesn't improve your quality of life or anything else. You're just building because you can and you feel called to it. And there's an impact that you desire to make. And I think that's amazing. We laid my wife's grandfather to rest 2 days ago. We're talking about a packed service. Mm-hmm. Couldn't sit anywhere. This old boy wasn't worth, but were two sticks you could shake together. And just was not a high profile individual by any stretch of the imagination, was a working class guy and passed rather suddenly from a stroke. But richer than half the people I know. I mean, what a waste if you're just broke with a lot of money.
Yep.
The only legacy we really leave behind is what people say over a casket. And so for me, that's the most important thing is who I am as a dad, who I am as a father, who I am as a brother and a son to my own dad. People ask me, what would it take to get you out of Oklahoma? You couldn't. I got weekly supper with my sister and her family. My grandmother who raised me is 2 miles away from me, lost too many people. The funeral on Wednesday was my 146th funeral. When you've been through that much loss and I've seen some pretty traumatic things as well and buried a lot of family members. And as a pastor, you lead most of those. Yeah, it doesn't profit you to gain the world and lose your soul in the process. So how do we do both?
Mm-hmm.
And that's my consideration is there's a way.
Mm-hmm. There is a way. And going to be teaching and speaking about it at...
Girl, come on!
Workshop in Nashville. It's a perfect lead up for me to promote the workshop.
Yeah, we are.
There's so many things that you're going to be chatting about in Nashville, from brand to scaling to this mindset and purpose aspect. Because again, that's why I called it profit and purpose. Profit is important for sure, but without a purpose for your life, money doesn't mean shit.
We're
going to go deep.
Well, and I told you, I'm like, I'll be there. So as much as you, the people there, like I am there for you. I'm there from sunup to sundown, however long we're there, what we're doing. That one of the greatest gifts that I've been given is the opportunity to serve. And so this is going to be an extraordinary event. I think my buddy Taylor is going to be there, right?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's our only other, just you two.
Listen, I'll tell you guys, if you don't know Taylor, he is almost as charming and good looking as me. And so he's taller, but that's all he's got. So you don't want to miss him either.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. Thank you so much for joining me. I can't wait to see you in a couple months. Hey there, do you struggle with using multiple softwares to run your office? Well, I have the perfect solution for you. Genesis Chiropractic Software by Clinic Mind. This all-in-one system and billing service is cloud-based and designed by chiropractors for chiropractors. Its automated workflows streamline every aspect of your practice, from efficient billing processes that increase your collections to easy-to-use dashboards and retention tools that will keep your patients compliant with your care recommendations. We all know it's not just about getting more new patients, but also keeping the ones you do have happy. If you're interested in improving your office with a proven platform that works and want things to stop falling through the cracks, check them out at genesischiropracticsoftware.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.